talk to you about how you want to answer this. So the answer to were people in the campaign other than Huma aware?
Okay.
No? Then had there been multiple online exchanges with multiple people, or was it just this one?
This is the last template. It's this information.
Can I just say multiple people, or is it just this one?
I think you've got to, I mean, there was more than one, so I think we've got to answer the question.
Okay.
Problem was that the series of interviews that I did when I got in the race were after this. And people asked me, is the number still the same? I think I said to six to Dominic, and then I cleaned it up in subsequent interviews because I knew that was a problem. Question is, do we answer it or not? I think we have to answer these questions.
I think we have to answer because if somebody else comes out, we don't.
So, okay. So then you're going to give me the answer.
So I'm going to say...
Yes.
It was more than one. Do you believe you're suffering from any sort of addiction?
Don't answer that question, Anthony. Just don't answer that question. Welcome, everybody, to Cinema Royale, or better yet, this is what I like to call In the Arena, which are one-off episodes of Cinema Royale in which I interview writers, directors, during upcoming movies. And in this episode, I had a chance to sit down and talk with Josh Kriegman and Elyse Steinberg, the directors of the award-winning documentary former congressman and failed mayoral candidate Anthony Weiner. You may know him as Carlos Danger or or whatever other names he used to use when he was trolling through the social media sending pictures of his genitalia to women. See, the thing is, I'm a big fan of Anthony Weiner. I love his politics. Always did. He's a fiery politician out there, at least he was, which made his downfall all the more sad to me. I could hear in that clip I just played, you know, he was going through a lot, man. I mean, he was forced to answer questions publicly that nobody should have to answer. Things about his private life that, you know, just simply shouldn't be out there. And frankly, it's a lot of it is his fault. I mean, all of it is his fault. Let's be blunt. But the movie is tremendous, and I was really excited to talk to Josh and Elyse about it. So I want to give you a chance to listen to that interview now. It's about 15 minutes. I hope you enjoy it. I will talk to you later.
Fantastic movie.
Thank you.
I missed this Sundance. I was really upset.
Because it's one of the ones I really wanted to see. And then I won an award, and I was like,
It's a great movie.
Thanks.
Now, talk to me a little bit about, I guess what I'm most curious about is how things were on the inside. You guys had an incredible amount of access going on here for this movie. And to the best of my knowledge, it didn't start off being what it ended up being. Am I right?
Yeah, I mean, it started off, well, a little backstory. I actually knew Anthony from working for him in politics.
Okay.
So that's how I met him. I was his chief of staff for a couple of years
uh-huh.
in Congress. And so we had known each other for many years. And then I was in filmmaking when he had his scandal and resigned. So he and I started a conversation then after he resigned about the possibility of making a documentary. And so that was a conversation that actually went on over the course of a couple of years, going back and forth and trying to figure out if it would be something that he would be comfortable doing and how it would work. So it was when, and then when he decided to run for mayor of New York City, he agreed to let us in and we started filming, and we had no idea what it was going to be. You know, I think no one knew how the story was going to unfold. A lot of people were counting him out as a joke and a punchline and thought, you know, he wouldn't be able to actually be taken seriously again as a candidate.
Right.
But then within a couple of weeks, 6 weeks or so, he was top of the polls. Mm-hmm. And and people realized, wow, he could be successful here. And so from a filmmaking perspective, I think we thought we might be in the middle of one of the more remarkable comeback stories in American political history. And then the scandal kind of broke again. These new revelations came forward, and the whole story took a different turn. But we were, you know, we were eager to just capture as much of it as we could.
talk to me a little bit about how he was during this process. I mean, we see a lot of it in the movie, but and I think you guys do a good job of capturing just how kind of absurd this whole thing is, the media circus, all this stuff. But how was he on the inside? The stuff that doesn't get captured on screen, you know, does he realize just how just insane this whole thing is as it's all unfolding around him?
Josh, I think one of the things that's remarkable, Anthony, is that what you see in our film is the way he was. I mean, he is one of these people who, unlike some other people, most people, he's very comfortable with the camera. And so he is, I mean, you see what we saw, this authentic person who's, you know, an authentic, comfortable person, comfortable from the camera, going through the events that unfolded. So, I mean, I don't know.
And you see, part of what we were hoping to capture, and I think what viewers respond to, is you see a range of emotions from him.
Yeah.
You know, he's at times he's feeling, you know, clearly pretty bummed out about what's happening. You know, and other times he's feeling, you know, committed to his cause and unwilling to step aside. And so you really get to see a more complex portrait of somebody who most of us got to know as in many ways a punchline through the story as it played out in the media.
And you also get to see so many different sides of him. I mean, he himself is a very fascinating and, of course, flawed person.
Absolutely.
So you see this moment of great insight, and then you see a lack of awareness. So, and you see a sort of savviness, and then you see a naivete. I think he's this almost Shakespearean quality to him of just, you know, blindness. And so I think that, you know, that is something we captured.
That's a good way of putting it, Shakespearean. Because I was a big fan of Anthony Weiner. I love him. The beginning of the movie where you show him how fiery he was, you know, in the halls of Congress. Guys like me love that. I love that stuff. So watching his downfall was very painful in public, and then seeing it again in the movie is even more painful, you know.
Yeah.
But do you also think that maybe that, you know, you said that he's very comfortable in front of the camera. Do you think that actually hurt him a little bit also? Because he didn't seem to want to turn anything away either. You know, would you think that would be that's kind of the case as well?
Well, I think, you know, this question of, you know, why did he let us film everything? And then this is what
you're getting at. It's the central point of the movie.
Central question in the movie.
First 30 seconds I was asking myself, I was like, why is he doing this?
Right. And it's one that obviously we wonder and we pose to him in the film. And he does, you know, he gets at an answer at the end. He says he wants to view this more than a punchline and more as the full, complete, you know, person that he was. And I think so, you know, I think that he was, that was his motivation for opening up his life in the way that he did, was recognizing that, that there might be some value in documenting a more complete version of the story, which, you know, included some of these behind-the-scenes moments.
But we pose it because we understand it's a question that a lot of viewers have. I do also think, you know, one of the things that was very natural to have Josh was filming, it was very natural to have him to keep filming. But I think there, you know, he recognized that maybe a different version of his story could be told than the one that was playing out in the New York Post. I mean, and that was something that we wanted to do as well. I mean, we wanted to show those two differences between the private story that was happening and the public story. And there was a striking difference there, and playing with that in terms of our construction of the film.
Yeah, the construction of the film was one of the things that I thought was fascinating as well, because, like I said, I think you guys get how absurd this whole thing was. One of the things that's always bothered me about this various scandals with Anthony Weiner was that there's no actual sex, you know, and then you got guys who are out there now who have had sex scandals who are just breezing along just fine. That's always kind of bugged me.
Yeah.
You know, were you about to say something?
No.
Okay, no, I thought you were about to interject.
No, I was just like,
no, it's scratching. Yeah. No, but did he ever express kind of dismay at that whole sort of thing, you know, at any point?
Well, I think he went through pains to avoid trying to compare and contrast his scandal to others.
Yeah.
Right? Like, he didn't want to be in the position, I don't think, of, you know, trying to suggest that it was worse or better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was very committed to saying, look, this is what I did, and I'm going to let voters judge it. And if they determine that this is disqualifies me, then okay.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that was his position on it. you know, there was a confluence of factors that in some ways I think distinguished his scandal from others. His name, obviously, the fact of there being...
I think the name thing is the killer.
I think it's a big, it's undeniably a big piece of the way it played out in the media and the size of the story. You know, his name, he says this in the film, you know, he acknowledges that his name is part of it. The fact of there being photos, I think, is part of it. And the fact of the behavior, you know, especially sort of the timing of, you know, what sexting is and how it sort of fits into our culture and our understanding of it, I think was part of the whole thing, too.
Do you think that scandal would be as big of an issue if it happened tomorrow as, you know, a couple of years ago when it did break? Do you think it would still be as big of an issue now?
It's a good question. I mean, one of the things that we're seeing in our politics today and one of the ways, you know, we do hope that the film does speak to our political moment beyond Anthony and his mayoral campaign, you know, someone like Donald Trump appears to be breaking all of the rules, right? You know, he's doing all of the things that we would have thought and did think prior to his current success would be disqualifying, and somehow he seems to be unscathed. And so, you know, it's a big, I think, a real question that a lot of us are wrestling with observing politics today is, you know, what are the rules anymore?
Were you about to say something? I always feel like you're about to say something.
I was earlier.
The Trump thing is fascinating, you know, because like you said, he is kind of breaking all the rules. What do you think the differences are? I mean, there are obviously big differences between him and Trump, but what do you think? Is there another reason that maybe we're not figuring out as to why one affects him and one affects Wiener and they affect each other in different ways?
Well, I think that, I mean, you know, the things that differentiated, I guess Josh did talk, the things that differentiated Trump and Anthony in terms of, let me just say for a minute.
This is a good question.
Trump has been, you know, he's said horrible things. He's committed adultery. He's done far worse than Wiener has. Now, you know, and it slides right off.
It's a good question. And we don't know the answer. It's something that I think people are writing about now.
And I think, yeah, I mean, it just seems to be, I mean, there are these parallels, first of all, that we see. And we've been talking about, and people have been writing about talking about, I think that both Anthony and Trump understood that in order to have a voice in today's media, you have to put on a show and spectacle, and by speaking loud, you can get attention. And I think we have witnessed this, you know, shift right now towards spectacle rather than substance. But, you know, I think, you know, some of the things that differentiated what happened to Anthony were, you know, I think this idea that voters, especially older voters, viewed what he had done as not only weird, but deviant, was very different.
Yeah.
And I think, but I think, you know, right now it seems to be a pretty crazy time in our politics and nobody really knows. All the rules seem to be off. So we'll see what happens with Trump.
I think personally, this is just me, you know, my opinion. I think that part of the reason is, Anthony really did try to, you know, embrace it all and stick to what his core messages were going to be, whereas Trump's just like, I did whatever. Dismissiveness to him and his stuff that Anthony didn't have. He actually was willing to take responsibility for it. I think that hurt him, actually.
Yeah, for all their similarities, I mean, you're right. There are many differences between them. One major difference is that I do think Anthony had an ideological core and a commitment to issues that was genuine and authentic and smart. And I don't think that we've seen that from Trump. And that's an important distinction. Like, they both understood, I think, the theatrics of our political moments, you know, and how much it really is about putting on a show and playing to the modern media. But at the end of the day, I think Anthony had an ideological, you know, driving core that was quite different from me.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I think that Anthony had beliefs that he really held, and you can see that a little bit in our film because he's really connecting to voters and caring about them, and there was this visceral connection that I saw. And I do think, you know, I think that is very different than Trump.
There's just kind of this looming presence of Sidney Leathers throughout the movie, you know. we see a lot of her in various spaces during the movie, and particularly towards the end. Was she kind of a constant presence throughout the movie, or was it just like those little bits we saw during the film?
No, she wasn't constant. I mean, she, you know, emerged with the revelations about halfway through the campaign. You know, I mean, it was she's the one who came forward and really changed the trajectory of the campaign. And then, you know, it was towards the end that she was, chose to try to put herself in front of the cameras and make herself part of the story, and was literally trying to, you know, ambush him on election night. And so that's when she became a part of the story.
I imagine it must have gotten pretty uncomfortable, you know, being in there during some of those scenes. Some of the scenes, were just to watch them, was uncomfortable, you know, particularly between Anthony and Huma and things like that. How did the mood change, you know, from the day before, you know, the second revelations broke to after? I mean, did the production change as a result or anything like that, or did it? I was just the mood of the whole thing.
Well, the mood of the campaign completely transformed. I mean, it went from a kind of celebratory excitement about the success of this, you know, redemption comeback story to crisis management, you know, literally overnight, when the sexting scandal reemerged and sort of overtook everything. So, yeah, I mean, there were definitely some intense emotional moments that, I did the majority of the shooting, almost all of it just by myself. And I was there in the middle of it while it was unfolding. You know, as you saw in the film, the morning that the new revelations came forward and the news was breaking, I was in the room with Anthony and Huma while they were trying to understand the significance of what was happening after Anthony had asked his staff to leave. He allowed me to stay. And it was definitely an emotional moment that I was witnessing and close to. And I know these people, and I'm human, so I was definitely feeling some of that. But there also is a kind of balance that I think you need to cultivate as a documentarian, where being in touch with what's going on, but also having a kind of emotional remove so I can keep, you know, doing the job of keeping the camera rolling and capturing things and experiencing it through the lens of the camera. So, that was part of the dynamic throughout.
How much footage did you guys shoot for this whole thing?
We had about 400 hours.
Wow.
Yeah.
How did you decide? I mean, was there anything that you left out that you were like, I wish I could have kept that in there?
Well, I think, one of the things that you see the fly on the wall comment between. There was a lot of, you know, we wanted to the film to have humor to it because Anthony's a funny guy, but we obviously wanted to avoid the easy jokes. So that the humor of Anthony and Josh, there were a couple of moments like that in the film where you just have Anthony just being so self-aware of the process, joking with Josh, and we had a few of those in there, and realized, okay, not, we can't have too many, you know,
right.
Like too many of a good thing. But we still miss them.
Has he watched the film? What does he think about the film when he has watched it? What does he think?
So as far as we know, he hasn't actually seen it yet.
Really?
Yeah, we offered to show it to him many months ago, actually before we were even totally finished with the film. And we went back and forth with him about the possibility of him seeing it and if he wanted to see it, and he hasn't wanted to see it. He has he said that he's not eager to relive it, which is of course something that we can respect,
of course.
And we're sure he'll see it at some point, and we'll see what he thinks about it then.
I guess he figures, I lived it, why do I want to watch it?
He has jokes.
Yeah, that's exactly what he said.
I know how it ends.
All right, that's my interview with Josh Kriegman and Lisa Steinberg of the award-winning documentary Wiener about Congressman and failed mayoral candidate Anthony Wiener. I hope you enjoyed that. Stay tuned, because tomorrow we have a brand new episode of Cinema Royale, a full episode of Cinema Royale coming at you tomorrow. So thank you very much for listening. I hope you enjoyed this. There will be plenty more to come.